Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is message number 2 in our study from Genesis through Revelation. And we resume our study today in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up right where we left off in verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Did you know that God designed the night sky to be a calendar? You know, if you become familiar with the constellations and some of the stars, you can tell what season of the year you're in just by looking at the night sky. So God designed the universe for us here on earth. Verse 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the 4th day." Up until this point, Earth was floating around all by itself in the vastness of outer space, if you can imagine that. It truly was a vacuum out there, with nothing, just black, except for us, except for this little planet. Wouldn't that be something? But then, all of a sudden, on day 4, bang. Like turning on the Christmas tree lights, the sky was filled with stars, and the moon appears. And in the morning, the sun comes up for the very first time. This is the first sunrise ever. 20. "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.' And God created great..." Let's see. Yeah, "God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth.' And the evening and the morning were the 5th day." I don't know what amazes me more, the actual creation of all the fish and all the sea creatures and all the birds, or the fact that God designed them in his mind before he spoke them into existence. He didn't have to write anything down. Can you imagine just conceiving all these creatures in your mind? In their own uniqueness, in how they function, just having that all in your mind and speaking them all into existence at the same time. And God had a unique design for each one of these creatures. Each one gathers food and defends itself in their own unique way. And when you look at all the fish, everything from the minnow to the whale, and when you look at all the birds, you see more evidence that there is an amazingly intelligent God who has made them all. So this is one thing that just really bothers me about evolution. Well, number one, it's contrary to the Word of God. You can't teach evolution from the Word of God because the Word of God contradicts it. The only thing you can do is take these plain, simple, historical verses and twist them and just totally renounce their natural, normal meaning and make something up, which is a very dangerous precedent to set for the Word of God. If that's how you're beginning to study the Word of God, then I don't want to see what you look like by the time you hit Revelation. You're going to be a complete mess. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creeps upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. So on the first part of day six, God created all the animals and the reptiles. And once again, he commands them to reproduce after their own kind. Now, that leaves room for variations within the species. You can have Labradors and Collies and so forth within the same species, a dog. But there is no passing from one species to another. In other words, you can't mate a deer and a cow and produce an animal that runs fast and says moo. At least one that can reproduce itself. Because it's not natural, it's not normal. God says it's not going to happen. It violates his laws. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, let's just stop there for a second. In our image, after our likeness. By the way, the our is a veiled reference to the Trinity. This is inter-Trinitarian communication between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's true. Jesus existed. The Son of God existed before he came to Bethlehem. But it says that we are made in the image and likeness of God. We don't look like God physically because God is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. Being made in the image of God refers to the fact that, like God, we have intellect. And like God, we are a moral being. We can think and we can design. And we can communicate with him, which is something that the animals do not do. See, we not only know that we are here, we know that we know we are here, which isn't true of the animals. No squirrel runs around trying to discover the meaning of his existence. He's too busy being, just being, to wonder why he's being. And also, unlike anything else God created, we are spiritual beings, like God, so that we can communicate with God. This is what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. Again, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Man was made in God's image so that man could rule the earth. That was the plan. The plan was for man to be God's representative ruler here on earth. And the plan worked really well until man sinned. Everything fell apart after man sinned. Sin affected man's mind as well as his spirit. He lost his godly wisdom and his unbroken fellowship with God, which is where that comes from. And when those things happened, he lost his ability to rule the earth effectively. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And one of the things that evolutionists have never been able to explain is how the two sexes developed, God tells us. He says he created them, male and female. 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God tells man to subdue the earth. And that is the divine mandate for all scientific discovery. Subdue the earth. It means study nature. It means use the natural resources of the earth to make your life better, to better mankind. Discover what I've put in there, God is saying, and use it for your benefit. And so we see that using the earth's resources is a good thing. It's biblical. Of course, abusing the earth and creating environmental problems in the process is unbiblical. There's a balance that needs to be walked. I think it was the Ohio River that started on fire back in the mid-60s, somewhere around 1967. It was so polluted, so filled with chemicals that it actually started on fire. It's taken it a little bit too far. I'm not an environmentalist extremist by any means, but let's face it, that's abusing the earth, and that's not right. Sinful man, through greed and carelessness, often destroys what God has given us to use wisely and to enjoy. So again, there is a balance that we need to strike, and that's true in all areas of life. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every green herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, and it shall be for food. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And so we see from this that in the beginning, animals ate herbs and plants, and people ate fruit and vegetables, and no one ate meat. And it remained that way until after Noah's flood. Now, that doesn't mean that people obeyed this. But what I'm saying is that the Bible teaches that it wasn't lawful for animals or people to eat meat at this time. Man became very rebellious, and he did so in a hurry. So I'm thinking that chances are, even before the flood, they started eating meat. But they didn't have the right to do it until after the flood in Noah's day. 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so we see from this that it took God six literal 24-hour days to make all of creation. Chapter 2, verse 1. We'll just get our foot in the door here a little bit. To chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. In other words, all the places that would be created have been created. And all the creatures that have been made to be in those places have been created after 6 days. No more work of creation. That's it. And we'll pick it up in chapter 2. We'll touch on verse 1 again next time we get together. So until next time, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.